The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now we move to a new report from the ESRI, which reveals that electricity bills in Ireland are amongst the highest in Europe. Dr. Paul Dean is a lecturer on energy at University College Cork. Paul, this drives us all mad when we hear this. Why are we so expensive for energy?
Yeah, unfortunately, Claire, it's a very recurring theme. So look, first and foremost, this study that was released today was actually based on prices from 2024, which already feels like almost a decade ago, but unfortunately it wasn't. This study is based on European data. Now, Claire, look, to be honest, I think these studies are kind of helpful from a government perspective because they allow us to compare. But from a household perspective, it doesn't make me feel any better about my bill if I know that someone in France is paying more. Mm-hmm. But really, it comes down to two things: how we make electricity and how we move electricity in Ireland. And they're both incredibly expensive.
OK, so let's talk a little bit about that, how we make electricity first and how we move it. Because what people know is whether we can do anything about this so that we move down the league table, which would bring us all some comfort.
Yeah, and Ireland is kind of unusual, unfortunately, in both these two areas. And how we make electricity in Ireland is kind of unusual compared to the rest of Europe here. We burn and buy and transport more natural gas to make our electricity in Ireland on a per capita level more than any other European country. Italy is kind of similar. And look, we all know from the last couple of years, the price of natural gas, the price of energy in general, oil or natural gas, have been incredibly volatile and precarious. So when you buy and burn more of that stuff that's very pricey, that makes its way into our bills. But the other thing I suppose that's kind of not talked about as much, Claire, is the how we move electricity around Ireland. If I can give you a kind of a very nerdy fact that might kind of give some context to this, but if we look at all the wires that we use to take to deliver power to our homes in Ireland, they would wrap around the equator four times. It's an incredible length of distribution lines that we have in Ireland, much more so on a per country basis compared to other European countries. And if you think of all the ESB poles, the substations, the copper that goes into that. So we have a very expensive delivery of electricity as well. And unfortunately, Claire, as the ESRI report also kind of alludes to, not only is that system incredibly long, but it's also getting very old. So we have to invest more in it. And that costs money. So that's going to continue to put upward pressure on prices.
But all of the other countries, do they not do the same thing?
So in terms of moving electricity in other countries, they have more denser systems. It really comes back to population dispersion and population density. Look, in Ireland in the last 50, 60 years, we built lots of houses everywhere at lots of different times. So we need more wires. And if you look at France or if you look at Scandinavia, they tend to have a lot more kind of village and town systems with a lot less rural dispersion. So we need to get wires to all the homes in Ireland that are sometimes in very remote places that are in kind of very dispersed places. And that means on average that our the length of wires that we need per capita is typically about 2 to 3, even 4 times higher than European average. So they don't face that issue, Claire. And look, that's a legacy thing. There's no amount of planning is going to solve that now. That's something we have to absorb and something we have to deal with.
Okay, a listener has a question on electricity prices for you, Paul. I have 12 solar panels on the roof. Should we be getting paid more from our supplier when electricity charges rise for supplying electricity to their grid?
No. My view on solar is this: it should be cost reducing rather than profit making for families, because what we really want to do is we want to get as many families around the country reducing their bills as possible. So by being able to share, I suppose, the overall cost of installing those systems among wider population groups is a good thing for Ireland. In terms of making money from the export, you know, the suppliers are baking that into their overall cost of not only your bill, but of everybody else's bill. So if we're selling electricity that's going to be more expensive for suppliers to buy, they're going to make it a little bit more pricey then for all the others to buy as well. So it tends to feed one into the other. My advice to anyone, Claire, on solar is size your system for your needs. You know, typically a house in Ireland might need 6 to 10 solar panels. That will allow you to meet maybe around 40% of your annual needs across the year. But I would be worried about some of the prices that electricity suppliers are offering at the moment. They're very high. they're not fixed, and I would expect that they will come down over the next number of years.
Okay. And we spoke a couple of months ago when those figures emerged showing that 320,000 people, Paul, were in arrears on their bills in 2025. And reflecting back, I think it was January 2025 at that point. And you felt very strongly that something would have to be done to help those people. We're in a worse situation now, aren't we? Or we will be if this international conflict continues.
Yeah, we are. And look, the outlook for the future is very precarious as well, Claire. Look, my view, I think there was a real missed opportunity in the last budget to offer targeted supports to those families in arrears in those electricity bills. And it's important for the government to realise, look, it's not just about the cost of electricity anymore. It's about the cost of living. And one amplifies the other. My view at this stage, when you look ahead and look at gas prices, which have risen, but not to the same extent now as oil. It's not like the Russian crisis. So I think from a government perspective, there's no need to panic yet, but they do need to be prepared with targeted supports for the families who are unable to pay their electricity bills, because that debt isn't going to go away. And what tends to happen, Claire, is that debt then is absorbed by suppliers. It increases their costs. And if their costs go up, they'll just share the cost then with all the people who are buying electricity from them. So I think there's need really for the government to intervene here. Now, there has been need for the government to intervene here for the last 2 years, but there needs to be a lot more agility and urgency around that.
All right, Dr. Paul Dean from UCC, thank you very much, Paul. We've had a statement in from Kevin McPartlin, who's CEO of Fuels for Ireland. It's long enough, but I'm going to bring it all to you because it's important that we understand it fully. So he says, we understand that motorists will expect to see the excise reduction reflected at the pump as quickly as possible. This is on foot of the government announcement on Sunday. He says it's important to say that this may not happen at every forecourt immediately, and that should not be misunderstood as a failure to pass on the tax cut. The reason is practical. Excise is applied when fuel leaves a terminal or refinery, not when it is sold at the pump. In recent days, the industry has been operating under disrupted conditions, and the priority has been to keep fuel moving and forecourts supplied where possible. As a result, some of the fuel arriving at sites in the immediate aftermath of the change will still have left facilities at the old excise rate. That means there may be limited movement at some pumps immediately after the new rate takes effect from midnight on Wednesday. The reduction is coming through, but there will be a lag as lower fuel duty works its way through the system. Some sites may update quickly, while for others it may take 48 to 72 hours, with the overwhelming majority expected to reflect the lower rate by the weekend. Customers should also be aware that international wholesale fuel prices are continuing to move independently of tax changes. That may reduce some of the visible impact at the pump in the short term. As an example, wholesale diesel prices have increased by approximately 5 cents per litre since the excise announcement. When VAT is applied, this equates to over 6 cents per litre at retail. The key point is that the excise reduction is taking effect, it will be passed through, and any delay in seeing the full effect is explained by operational reality. So that's from Kevin McPartlin from Fuels for Ireland. So essentially he's saying, don't come at us if we don't see the excise reduction straight away after midnight on the 15th. That's this coming Wednesday. He's telling us that some of the fuel which was charged at the higher excise rate is coming through the system. So that's from Fuels for Ireland.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.